311 and welcome back. A few weeks ago, I was talking about seasteading, the idea of building communities of free people on the high seas outside of the jurisdiction of all the countries with all their oppressive laws, including the United States with its taxes and drug laws and curfews and licensing and restrictions of all sorts. On the phone with me is Liz Lacey here, the Director of Development at the Seasteading Institute. How are you today, Liz?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Good. And where are you talking to me from today?
From our offices in Palo Alto.
Oh, Palo Alto, California. Okay.
Yes.
How many people make up the Seasteading Institute right now?
Well, in terms of staff, we have 4 people on staff currently.
Okay.
We also have a board of directors and a pretty large base of volunteers spread all over the world.
Okay, and can you explain the concept for me? I'm sure a lot of people have never heard the term before. It's kind of a hybrid term, isn't it?
Right, taken from homesteading
right.
to seasteading, yes. So the basic idea of seasteading is to live with some reasonable degree of autonomy in a vessel on the ocean. You know, the specific form of that vessel might vary from person to person. It might be a platform like the one that we have designed. It could be a boat. It could be a wide variety of things, but basically living full-time on the ocean.
Now, why do you think seasteading is a better goal than, say, winning an election and putting your ideas into practice here on land?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't think that there's anything wrong with trying to win elections, but if you look at, say, the Libertarian Party or the Green Party or any of the other third parties in the United States, they have not had remarkable success in
No.
winning elections, certainly not on a national level, because their ideas are fairly marginalized in comparison to the population at large.
Okay. So explain the history of the group. How did this thing get started? Who put it together? And where did the idea kind of spring from?
Sure. So the idea kind of sprang from 2 different places at once. One is Wayne Gramlich, one of our founders, and the other one is Patry Friedman, and our other founder and also our executive director. And they were kind of both thinking the same ideas. And Wayne wrote a fairly detailed proposal that he posted on the internet, which Patry found and made contact with him.
Okay.
And it turned out that Wayne and Patry lived only a few miles away from each other. And so they sort of began collaborating, and that was in 2001
mm-hmm.
That this began. And they began collaborating on what shape this idea would take. And, you know, they were both busy people with full-time jobs. And so it went slowly and was on the back burner mm-hmm. to a large degree. It was something that they worked on when they had time. But more recently, in 2008, it came to the attention of Joe Lonsdale, who is the chairman of our board. And he read the article online. I think his brother showed it to him, Jeff Lonsdale. And Joe brought it to the attention of Peter Thiel, who was sufficiently interested in the idea to sit down and meet with Patry and Wayne, and he agreed to fund the project.
Okay.
And at that point, Patry was able to leave his position at Google, where he had been previously, and to pursuing this full-time mm-hmm. and hire on other staff like myself and the rest of the staff here.
Okay.
And we've been able to sort of ramp up the progress.
So where are things now? Like you have like meetings and that sort of thing at this point?
Yep, we have monthly meetings, which are an opportunity for people to learn more about the organization. And we're also, we've just recently patented a design that we commissioned for a platform that is about the size of a city block.
Okay.
It's called Clubstead because the design is essentially, the way it's currently used in our design is as a luxury hotel, though you could use it for a variety of other purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that design has just kind of gone through its patent process, is going through its patent process, a very slow process.
Mm-hmm.
And we just yesterday published really detailed engineering reports, which are available on our website. That's seasteading.org. And you can read kind of the whole schematics and see the costs and upkeep and maintenance. And it's a real breakthrough in terms of ocean-going communities, there have been a lot of ideas over the years. Very few of them have come out with any kind of detailed engineering information, and none of them have come out with, you know, really fully considered cost estimates,
right,
and a complete...
In other words, they've never really gotten to a serious, serious level, like where they're talking about, like you said, engineering. There's a lot of that involved, isn't there?
There is a great deal of that involved, yeah. If you're talking about designing your platform, that, you know, there's a lot to think about. The ocean is not a friendly environment.
No.
We do know that one can create platforms on which people can live fairly comfortably because such platforms exist already. Mm. People live on oil platforms. Those are not optimized for a pleasant living experience. They're
no.
optimized for drilling oil.
Right.
So Clubstead is optimized for a pleasant living experience and,
yeah.
and for permanent residence.
Like cruise ships.
Yes, also cruise ships. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of people living temporarily on the ocean every year. There are even a smaller number who live permanently on the ocean every year on cruise ships.
So let me ask you this. What are the short-term plans for the Seasteading Institute as compared to the long-term? Because I'm sure some of these things, for example, you're talking about engineering a platform and all of this, and the patent process takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have long-term plans and then probably things that you can do more quickly, right?
Yes. We have a couple of things that we're doing in the more short term. First of all, we're looking at building some smaller platforms just as sort of an opportunity to test some of the ideas involved and create a proof of concept for people who are interested in what we call single-family seastead, so something that might be about the size of an apartment.
Okay, okay. I know what everybody wants now is a visual, Liz. So what people are looking for, I think, probably is what does this look like when you have the final idea implemented?
You mean what does a seastead look like, or what does the world of seasteading look like?
I guess all of that. You're talking about a single dwelling. Does that exist by itself without any further infrastructure beside it, or?
Whether a single family seastead might exist independently or be anchored with a group of other seasteads would depend on the people who lived on board it. Part of the goal of the seasteading opportunity is to provide greater choice for people in how they live their lives.
Right, so you might not have an absolute universal idea of what a seastead should look like. It could be...
Yeah, we very specifically don't. We think that this is an idea that should exist in the world. We think that there are many paths to success for this idea.
Mm-hmm.
We are working to pursue some of them. We are encouraging people who are working to pursue others.
Right.
I have a question for you. Is now the size of a city block, all right? Now that's pretty
yes.
that's pretty good size.
It is pretty good
now,
size.
Now
yes.
is this anchored into the crust of the ocean floor, or is this like a solid base, or is this like an oil platform where they can move it if they have to move it?
Yeah, the Clubstead is designed to move. It has four engines. Obviously, it doesn't move at a great speed, but yes, it does move.
Okay, so but you'll put out anchors, but if you have to move, you can move.
Yeah, absolutely. One might want to move it with the weather.
One thing I was interested to notice is the distinction between seasteads that are close to shore and then those that are further out, like over 200 miles out from the coast. What is the difference ideologically and also practically?
So it's sort of both practical and ideological. For things which are considered a stationary platform, international waters start 200 miles from shore. So when you're within 200 miles of the shore, if you're something that is considered a stationary platform, you're governed by the laws of the country that you are close to.
Right.
To what degree they interfere with your daily life probably varies a great deal based on what you're doing and which country it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you are definitely within their jurisdictional boundaries. So you couldn't really be fully autonomous in that situation.
But when you move out further, 200 miles out maybe, which is actually, I mean, a long way out. If you go out 200 miles, you're committed.
Yes, that's a long way out. Yeah, absolutely.
You're committed to living there. You can't really
I'm thinking you need a military, just in case there's hostiles if you're 200 miles out.
You probably do need some way to defend yourself. Right. That situation,
I would
yeah.
think so. At 200 miles, I think you definitely need some, because I could mm-hmm. see some radical group thinking, hey, why don't we take this? Hey, they built it. They got it. Why don't we take it?
Right. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Do you get a lot of interest from people on this? I mean, are people interested in what you're doing, or do they regard it almost as a fringe kind of movement that is similar to some of the things that have been attempted in the past?
We actually get an enormous amount of interest. It's very gratifying. When I first started with the organization, I thought, man, I think this idea is really cool, but I wonder if anybody else is going to. And we get really positive feedback. And over and over again, the thing that we hear from people is, you know, the first time I heard about this idea, it sounded really crazy. But then the more I read about what you guys were doing as an organization and your plans and how you were pursuing this, it started to seem more and more like a reasonable idea and like something that was being pursued in a reasonable way.
Yeah.
Because most serious innovations in the way that people live sounded crazy before somebody did them successfully.
Well, that's right. Just look at the Wright brothers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, here's another question I have for you here. Is the problem is, do you think you're going to run into some opposition from the government? Because I can tell you, the government just doesn't like the idea of independent thinkers. and the idea of going out there and creating your own little kind of community, your own little kind of world out there, they get jealous of that. They can't stand that. They'll find some way that you can't do that.
Yeah, and they're particularly not fond of it when you take your money and leave.
Right, exactly.
They really like your money to stay.
Right.
that's a real question mark, and I suspect it will depend a great deal on how quickly and in what way the seasteading movement unfolds. I'm sure that at some point we will need to talk to the governments of the world about how they will relate to us. It's not just the U.S. government. You know, we happen to be based out of the U.S., and so we suspect that we will get attention from the U.S. government first, but we'll probably get attention from any government who feels that they are being impacted by seasteading in some way.
What kind of freedoms do you think people will be looking for most out of seasteading? Is it mostly things like freedom from taxes and drug laws and business freedoms? What kind of things do you envision people doing with the freedoms that seasteading will offer them?
Well, it is my sincere hope that people will find many different freedoms that they wish to have. A lot of the people that are involved in this movement are from a sort of a libertarian, anarcho-capitalist bent. And so they are interested, yes, in like economic freedom and business freedom. But there are many, many different types of groups who might be interested in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to create, a commune where everybody puts in and everybody works together, and if you want to create an anarcho-capitalist seastead, and if you want to create deeply religious Christian scientist seasteading, I think all of these have a place in the world because
so it's kind of an experimental idea in a sense, where this is the means by which people can experiment with different forms of government and different forms of society.
Exactly.
Okay.
That old quote about democracy being the worst system of government except all of the other ones.
Yeah.
That's now, but maybe 100 years from now, seasteading will have discovered some better form of government.
Mm. So do you see like different countries having organizations like yours and everybody having a little seasteading project of some sort?
I certainly would love to see other seasteading organizations start up. We hope that there will be for-profit businesses. We are a nonprofit, but we hope that there will be for-profit businesses that pursue seasteading as a possible way.
Give me an example of something you think that could be used that way.
There are a lot of good examples. One of my favorite is I have an uncle who does deep-sea fishing,
mm-hmm.
And a hotel for deep-sea fishing, I suspect, could be very successful. You know, you'd be right out there where the fish are.
One of the thoughts that I had was possibly medical.
Yes, absolutely. I think there are organizations that would be interested in doing medical treatments and medical procedures offshore. There are a lot of really, really groundbreaking medical treatments which are simply too expensive or too risky to do within the United States that can be done for people who really wish to do them and who you know, are willing to take a risk or to, you know, take an offshore opportunity to get the medical treatment that they need. Mm.
I got to be honest with you. The first thing that came to my head was the movie Waterworld. But my
I don't know that I've seen Waterworld.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Is it?
Love it. But my first thought was
after Waterworld.
Yeah, after Waterworld, casinos, casinos.
With casinos? Absolutely. They should. You know. They could run it the way that they think that they could run it, and they could run it tax-free, which I'm sure they would consider a pretty significant advantage.
Right.
Right, right.
That's the one thing I thought. Get the casino guys on board that I thought, man, I could see this actually taking off a little bit. I'm going to ask you a personal question here, all right?
Sure.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, Liz, I'm 51. Do you think that you're going to see this in your lifetime, Liz?
I do.
Okay.
I do, yeah.
All right.
My hope is that by the time I'm ready to retire, seasteads have gotten comfortable enough that I could retire onto a seastead.
Okay.
Because the first ones will probably be pretty rugged.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty adventurous. You know, you'd be like the original pioneer people.
Well, yeah, one of the things that that they said was we've run out of frontier. Frontier used to be the way to advance, you know, and try new things and be on the cutting edge. You just had to go west, young man, right?
And then we built a pier and stopped.
We built a pier and stopped. And there's no more frontier. But frontiersmen were, like you say, they were kind of rugged, and it was tough life.
So you need a handful of these people to go out there and be the original homesteaders. The founding fathers and daughters, I guess, and of seasteading.
Now, let me give you a few common problems people foresee here, and I'll ask you what you think, Liz, okay?
Okay.
People say it's already been tried. There were a few attempts to build new societies on islands and that sort of thing. What do you think?
Well, with due respect to people who have tried something adventurous, they didn't go about it in very good ways. Often they didn't get the kind of expertise they needed to make sure that it would make sense. They didn't do research. You know, we are engaged in serious legal and engineering research about what's involved in doing this. We mostly come from business backgrounds. We understand that in order to make something happen, you need to understand all of the ramifications and all of the requirements.
Is there something closer to the actual seastead? Is your board and your people looking at a cruise ship to buy and do a you know, practice run at this? Like, that sounds fairly practical. I think you could get a lot of people right now that would go on this. Okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do seastead for 30 days, or I'm going to seastead for 3 months with these people to see if I like it. And then you have something going,
like,
and
a,
saying, hey, you like this, wait till we get our platforms done.
You mean like a floating libertarian timeshare?
Right.
That is essentially, floating libertarian timeshare is a pretty good way to put it. And yes, that's under very serious consideration, especially given the current state of the economy. Cruise ships have gotten pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
And so it's a serious option under consideration.
I see that building up just a wealth of interest for you guys, something like that.
Absolutely. And there is, in fact, an existing successful version of this. There is a cruise ship condominium out there floating about with people living on it right now.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, they're called The World.
I like it.
It's very expensive. You have to be quite wealthy to get on board one of these. We would like to do something that was available to a wider range of people. I doubt it's going to be cheap, but we would like to make it less than $1 million to get in the door.
Right.
What is the shortest term plan that the Seasteading Institute has at this point? Isn't there something coming up later this year or an event?
We are hosting two events later this year. We'll have our second annual conference in San Francisco, and that will be at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be an opportunity for people to come together and discuss the sort of academic and engineering and social issues surrounding seasteading. And then after that, we will have Ephemerile, which will take place October 2nd through 4th in the Sacramento River Delta.
Okay.
And that event is essentially a festival on boats and rafts and other conveyances. There's an opportunity for people to come together and experiment with what it's like to live together in a small and aquatic environment, and to kind of discuss what life will be like and also to enjoy themselves.
More like a festival, right?
Yeah, more like a festival, less like a seminar. This is going to be a less structured event. We hope it will be a lot of fun.
More like a social or mixer.
Like a festival. If you're familiar with Burning Man.
I know Burning Man.
Yeah.
So if you imagine Burning Man on a, I mean, obviously a significantly smaller scale, Burning Man attracts 40,000 people. We don't
right.
think we're going to have that many.
Right.
But if you imagine something like Burning Man on the water, it's going to be fairly similar to that, except it'll be focused around politics and law and society and culture instead of necessarily art.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say, Liz, I'm very interested in the group and the idea. I'm a libertarian. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would love to experience real, true liberty in my lifetime. Seasteading might just be the way. I think you're going about it the right way, using
uh-huh.
technology and Silicon Valley model to kind of do it. And really, at this point, you know, freedom, I don't know what you think about this, Liz, but freedom seems farther away to me than ever here in the land of the free. So I'd be interested in learning more. How do people get involved if they want to find out more about the Seasteading Institute?
The best thing to do is to come to our website, which is seasteading.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wealth of information on the website. Take a look at our forums, which are pretty active. And you can sign up for membership if you would like to support the organization.
Cool.
You know, something else I see, Liz, you know, someone more like my speed, I get my own Seastead. I form my own country, my own laws.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what I'd see I do. You know what I mean? And I'd put it out. This is the law, self-government, self-discipline, blah, blah, blah. You can join me if you want. And then you can run your own fees once you have your own Seastead platform.
We hope people will do exactly that. And it's our aim to support people who intend to do that and to provide sort of infrastructure and community for people who are doing that.
How fun.
Yeah.
Maybe the Seasteading Institute could form an arm at some point, a business arm where you can develop, design, engineer, and sell these things.
Yeah, there has been some discussion of doing
idea.
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah, so you just buy yourself one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I need an 8-acre Seastead platform, you know? You know,
yeah.
That's what I need.
What would you put on it, Keith?
It'd be mine. I mean, what I would do?
Cattle?
Yeah, I'd make it an own little country is what I would do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a handful of people could come. I would probably have
tightly controlled immigration policy.
Very, very tightly. And self and I'm very big on self-discipline, self-government. And what we'd have here is like you'd have to have some form of animals, like you said.
Raise cattle out
you'd
there.
You'd have to have something. You'd
okay.
have to you'd have to have some type of fresh food. And I suppose you guys discussed this. You know, the fresh water would be easy to make because you'd have
desalination.
So you'd have one of those on each platform. Sewer, you'd probably have to put it through a cleaning process or something like that to make sure that it goes back into the ocean so it would be fine and dandy because you couldn't very well ship it off.
There would be some seasteads that would have a hole in the floor, Keith.
Well, I would guess that you could probably, you know, you could probably grow if you could get some earth out there because you have enough water that you could put a lush little pasture in
mm-hmm.
and do a lot of things with a garden and, you know, a massive garden.
The Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Things like what to grow on a seastead and how to raise animals are part of the subject matter that we'll cover in our conference.
Right. I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, maybe, Liz, I'll see you on a seastead someday.
Well, I hope so. Well, I'll come visit your seastead.
All right.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Liz Lacey, Director of Development at the Seasteading Institute.
Maybe you should go to that.